Well, joining me now to talk all things Raptors, it is Natay Ajay, who does some great work with us here at TSN 1050 and also covering the CFL. Natay, thanks so much for joining the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Matty Cog. I appreciate any chance I get to talk to you.
Yeah, so let's, you know what I want to start with? I want to start with something silly, but turn it into a real conversation. How soft does Devin Booker look? Getting upset. There's 6.5 seconds left. It's a 2-point game. There's not a fan in the building. And he's upset because the Raptor mascot is standing under behind the net, and Booker gets the refs to shoo the mascot away. To me, that felt pretty soft from Devin Booker.
It's definitely not a great look. It's really a bad look, especially if you know NBA players. Sometimes, you know, they come off as a bit soft because, you know, these foul calls that they get. But yeah. I want to play both sides for a second. All right. So the stadium, the arena is completely empty, right? No one's there. The whole game, he's been shooting free throws and no one has appeared. And now the most important free throws he's going to shoot in this game, the mascot appears out of nowhere and starts waving his hands and surprises him. Like, you saw the shot. He kind of shot it a bit short and almost missed it. And he did the same thing on the second one. But the mascot really surprised him, so he tells the ref, "Hey, ref, get this guy out of here." And then he's kind of laughing about it a little bit afterwards, after he already completed his free throws. But it's not a great look. I kind of understand where he's coming from. If I'm in an intense situation and I don't expect something to be there and it's there and it affects the way I perform my job, I'm probably going to say something. But it's not a great look, especially looking from the outside in.
It's not a great look because it's like you've had the biggest advantage. Like, and this sort of gets to my bigger picture here. It's not about the mascot versus Booker. That's a fun thing. That's a meme. That's a Twitter moment. That's a laugh. But you played professional sports.
Yeah.
And this is not a cliche that gas bags like me will throw out there. We've heard from players in every sport and coaches talking about how great it was whenever they got to go and play games in front of fans again. That's been taken away from the Raptors. This is such a disadvantage for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And no, I'd say that too. I mean, some of the best games I've ever felt, you know, great about is when the atmosphere is at its highest, when there's the most amount of people, where there's most on the line. I mean, these games that the Raptors are playing in Toronto are almost like practices, right? And the game we saw yesterday, I mean, it was like a playoff atmosphere type of game. It's disappointing that fans weren't able to attend that because, like we talked about, one of the best teams in the NBA with an up and coming team in Toronto Raptors going toe-to-toe with a team like that, right? So, I mean, it's unfortunate, but not a great look for Booker. Obviously, you know, he it makes me laugh every time I think about it because, you know, playing with no fans, I mean, it's almost like playing in that bubble environment, right? It's really, it changes the landscape of things a whole bunch.
And, I mean, I heard Fred VanVleet afterwards talking about, you know, how good they were playing defensively, which annoyed me because I took the over in that game. The Raptors lose 99-95 to the Suns. I was all over the over. But, like, VanVleet specifically says, like, yeah, that's about as good as defense as we can play without a crowd there. And, you know, I mean, he was basically saying that when the crowd is cheering, it can help you on a couple possessions. And those couple possessions can mean everything. And again, it's just not having that crowd. You know, we wonder about the Raptors' defense being up and down. I think part of it is when you don't have the crowd there, it can be hard to be able to play at the highest level. And I know people are listening going, how can you say that? Yeah, you get paid millions to play at that level. But these people, these players are still human beings.
Absolutely. They're human beings. They have emotions. They feed off of the emotions of other people. Like, generally, when you have an environment that is providing you energy, that's cheering you on, you want to do better because, you know, you have people behind you. But like Fred VanVleet said, like, obviously the Raptors' defense has been up and down, even during the six-game winning streak. But, you know, like, you made a great point about not having fans there, and that is definitely a big thing. Like, you see in the playoff atmospheres when the fans are chanting defense, like, guys rise to the occasion. And, you know, a team like Phoenix, like, they're a team that, like you said, best team in the NBA, one of the best teams in the NBA. They bring it night in and night out. So the Raptors, they're a young team. They can look to a team like Phoenix as to how to conduct themselves on a night-in, night-out basis, not just against the best teams in the NBA, right? They kind of showed what they're capable of night-in, night-out. Obviously, they're going to need the fans to be there on nights where they feel sluggish and feel low to kind of propel them to do more. But, you know, I thought yesterday's game was encouraging, especially on the defense side, because we haven't seen them play defense like that in a long time. And, you know, with the players on that roster, with the length, the athleticism, the ability to, you know, dig in on that defensive end, you would think it would be like this on a night-in, night-out basis, just because, like, they don't have the offensive weapons that guys that can get you a bucket at any moment, right? So it was impressive to see that kind of defense. You're going to need the crowd to come back to help them out even more.
And I know this might be weird to say, but I was actually I was more impressed with this loss than I was when the Raptors, their last win against the Pelicans, that needed a 34-foot three-pointer from Fred VanVleet. Like, Phoenix, their big three players played at least 30 minutes. The Raptors were up 90-89 with a minute 41 to go. If the Raptors don't miss 10 free throws, that could be a different game. Like, I look at that loss, and I'm more encouraged by that than I have with some of the wins against some very depleted NBA teams.
Absolutely. That's one thing that I was wondering about, especially during the six-game winning streak, right? They were facing teams that were kind of depleted, like you said, missing guys due to COVID and kind of undermanned, and Toronto was obviously getting healthy at that time. But this was a game where they were missing two starters, right, Gary Trent Jr. and Scottie Barnes, right, two of their better players, and they were able to hang with a Phoenix Suns team that had their entire starting five, right? This starting five was in the NBA Finals last year, right? So last year. So, you know, to go toe-to-toe with a team like that says a lot. I was extremely impressed with the ability for them to hang in there. And, you know, obviously missing Gary Trent, one of your better offensive players, and you missed 10 free throws, you know, down the stretch. You know, the game was, you know, right there for the taking, but they just couldn't have one guy step up, right? Obviously, the defense is going to take away the Fred VanVleet and the Pascals, and you need that kind of third guy to step up and make shots when, you know, guys are double-teamed and you're swinging into the corner or the wing, right? And they just didn't have that. But going forward, I mean, you assume that they're going to get healthier. They're going to get their guys back. And, you know, I think Coach Nurse is going to point to those games like, guys, look, we have what it takes. We have the guys in this locker room to get it done against teams, the better teams in this league. So he's going to expect that kind of effort night in, night out. And I think they're heading in the right direction, even in a loss.
Yeah, and hopefully Scottie Barnes and Trent Jr. can return. On one level, the injuries, it's, you know, like knee soreness. It's injuries that don't seem that bad, but as we've seen with the Raptors, sometimes, you know, an injury, like an OG Anunoby, oh, he'll be out for just a little bit of time. And then it's a hip pointer. And then it's like 3 weeks. I'm actually nervous about the next game, which is not for a couple of days, not till the Pistons. Cause one thing we know about Detroit, they can have like a 300 winning percentage against everyone else. But Dwayne Casey is over 500 against the Raptors. There's one thing we know about Detroit is Dwayne Casey always gets that team up.
It was so weird. I know, as you're saying that, the last game I was actually at in the state was against Detroit. And, you know, you're looking at the game, I know the Raptors were missing guys. Goran Dragic was starting. You think the Raptors should dominate games like that. But Detroit, for whatever reason, they get up for games against Toronto Raptors. I don't know if Dwayne Casey is in the pregame locker room, like, hey, guys, you know, like, you give them that extra pep talk. But they get up for these games. And, like you said, they could have lost, like, 30 games before they play the Raptors. But they will get up for that game and give them problems. So I'm actually excited to see that game.
Yeah, back on November 13th, I just looked it up. They lost 127-121. Where was that over last night for me? Hey, Nate, before I let you go, and again, Nate does excellent work with us on both on the Raptors side and also on the CFL side. I was throwing it out there a while ago, like, and every league does this, where they go, how can we get better? Every league does this. And with the CFL, the idea of going to four downs, I thought was just ridiculous. To me, it comes down to, and I don't know how this can happen, because this is about just the economic structure of the game. But can we find a way where free agents, it's three-year deals, four-year deals? To me, it's always the toughest part, is every year stars keep changing teams, and it's hard as a fan base to really invest in a player when you know they're in Winnipeg 1 year and then they're in Montreal the next.
Absolutely, and that's one of the biggest things that the players are pushing for, but the teams aren't wanting to give more guarantees. You know, there's no incentive for the players to sign these longer deals, but the league is looking into revenue sharing, and I think that will help with these contracts. And I always propose, like I was telling guys in the league, okay, you don't have to have fully guaranteed contracts, but maybe guarantee maybe 10% of a guy's contract. That will give a guy enough of incentive, like say he's making $100,000, guarantee 10,000 of it. That will make a guy enough of incentive to sign a multi-year deal to stay in the city. Like, guys want to stay in the city. Like, I talk to CFL guys all the time. They want to stay where they play. They want to stay there in the off season, and they want to build things in outside of football that they can look forward towards after their career. So it's in the league's best interest to look into, you know, how to have players stay longer, because, you know, people are getting Christmas presents of guys in say Winnipeg, and next you know they're on Toronto, and it's not a great way to build a league for sure. So I think the league definitely needs to, you know, attack that aspect of their business model, but also they need to invest more in gambling. I've been telling all my friends, hey, this team's gonna win, this team's gonna win. They start betting, they're into it. Guys that never thought about the CFL before, they're obviously invested in it because they have money on these games.
Oh, yeah, and then suddenly you're following Derek Taylor and Aaron Karolnik on Twitter. And I remember going to the Argo-Winnipeg game, the one time all year where Winnipeg got greatly outplayed by the Argonauts, and we had the under for Kenny Lawler receiving yards and the over for Eric Rogers receiving yards. We hit on both of them. It was me and seven guys, all in their mid-30s, going nuts throughout the game, confusing everyone around us.
Yes, I remember that. I remember doing that game and talking about Brady Oliveira and saying, I don't know, this Argos front seven have been playing unbelievable all year. I told a couple of my friends, hey, take the under. And he ended up having, like, I think maybe 13, 14 yards in the game. They were at that game. They were going crazy as well. So that is a big way to get younger people involved in the football. They need capitalize on that.
100%. Use gambling as the bait, and then once they're in the game itself, the players will sell itself after that. Once you get them inside, get them inside the tent, get the barner, get the carnival, get the clowns, get whatever it takes, get everyone in the tent. Once they're in there, most of them won't leave. Hey, Nate, really appreciate it. Thanks so much for joining the show today. All the best.
No problem. Thanks, Maddie. Anytime. I appreciate it.
Love it. Nate Ogier, TSN 1050. I say voice, but, you know, covers the team, does play-by-play and stuff with the Argonauts, and again, doing analyst work on the basketball side as well.